And welcome back to another edition of the On the Board Sports Podcast. I am your host, William Trucci, aka Will C, coming to you from the gym, my basement, here in Long Island, New York. And I am always joined by my wonderful co-host, Sean Thomas, aka Shawnee on the mic. Sean, how are you, bud, on this tremendous Tuesday?
Will, tremendous Tuesday, but I like to call it Tempo Tuesday. Well, I'm doing well, man. How you doing,
Tempo, Tempo Tuesday. Today was definitely a Tempo Tuesday. Went by quick for sure for some people like myself. I don't know if it went by quick with the tempo for you, but we do have a very special guest with us. Joining us right now from Sports Roasters and from ESNY, and he has his own podcast right now with License Plate Guy, the famous Giants fan. You've probably seen him. He's all over the place. We're talking with the one and only Mike Vivolo. Mike, thank you for coming on. It's been a long time since you've been on with us, and I haven't seen you in quite a while. How have you been making out through this whole pandemic, and how have you been doing so far, my friend?
My secret to the pandemic, drink every day and buy sports cards. Just buy them. Don't sell them just yet. No, thank you guys for having me. It's a perfect time of the season to start chatting with all you boys again. And hearing the hot takes from everyone, football season just get underway, and now we got to postseason baseball. I personally was hoping this was going to be a Tanaka Tuesday, but we got a Garrett Cole Tuesday, the Coltrane, and tone-setting Tuesday. I like that. I like that. Tempo Tuesday.
Tempo Tuesday.
Tempo Tuesday, Tuesday, baby.
Sean. Mike, you alluded to it right now with everything going on. You know what? Before we go on to postseason baseball – and before we talk about this whole mess that is New York football right now, talk to us about how you've been just basically trying to make content up right now. I've seen you on Instagram. I know my partner has too, with License Plate Guy, you know, going out there doing your own podcast. And, you know, talk to us about that, because that is very interesting right now, albeit in a very sticky situation for the Giants.
Are you going to really make me talk about Giants football, really?
Well, We'll talk about Giants football in a little bit, but
God, my whole life for the past 5 months has been leading up to a Giants football podcast, and I get the train wreck of a season. LPG and I, we do the same thing you guys do. We get some guests on, talk about everything. You know my content. I'm not super serious. I'm not super analytical. Either is Joe with formations and zone defenses and all that stuff. We're more of like the funner stuff. So you'll see our content on the True Blue podcast be lighthearted and reminiscent of the old Super Bowl teams and stuff like that. And hopefully dig up some content and some stories that you've never heard before. So for your viewers who are looking for something a little different, check out us on the True Blue podcast. It is a bummer that we are probably the 31st ranked team in the league right now.
Well, 32nd. You know my Jets are 32nd right now at this point. We'll save football for a little bit.
We're trying.
Absolutely. We're all trying at the end of the day, no matter what, and we're trying to make the best of this bad situation. But a team right now that is trying to make the best out of their situation right now, given their set of circumstances, are the New York Yankees. They are the fifth seed today, Tuesday. They're going up against the Cleveland Indians in this wild card round, something that we haven't seen before, something that we will probably never see ever again with 16 MLB teams going into it. I feel as if we know why there are 16 teams in it, because it comes down to the almighty dollar. But, Mike, let's talk about the Yankees here for a second. What has been your thoughts so far on these 2020 New York Yankees?
The 2020 New York Yankees, in a word, a hyphenated word, bipolar. These guys are, it is the weirdest. It might be a product of the shortened season, might be a product of conditioning, or who God knows what it is. But this is one of the most bipolar teams we've ever seen. Hot and cold streaks for the past month of epic proportions. And that scares the shit out of me, honestly, when you go against teams like Cleveland Indians with really good pitching staff, And we've been known, and you know, postseason games are low scoring, they're tight, they're ball games. You need to pitch really well and you need to make timely hits. And if we're gonna rely on either streakiness or the home run, then I can say confidently, Will, I am nervous for our bats. I am nervous. But I guess I'm the same as any playoff. I mean, I'm always nervous in the playoffs, but this season is weird. But it's okay, because if we lose, it doesn't count. And if we win, it counts.
That's a good way to put it, Mike. Mike, so, you know, as you know, game one is about to start. So Gary Sanchez isn't starting game one, and Miguel Andujar isn't even on the team to begin this, best of five here. What's your take on those two things? Sanchez not starting game one and Andujar not even being on the team.
Well, I mean, the same guy, it's the same guy causing both of those things, and that's Higashioka. So Cole wants Higashioka. He's going to get him. Pitching is super important. And then that bumps out, you know, the odd man out. And Mike Ford got in there instead of Andujar. And tonight we have Gardner, which I'm a huge – last night I was looking at it. I'm a huge proponent of Gardner in the postseason. I think he's a gamer, battler. He'll have some of those 10 pitch at-bats that matter and wear down some pitchers at some points throughout the series. But it's going to be Gerrit Cole. It's going to be Higashioka. I mean, no one ever expects Higgy to hit. And Gary Sanchez basically can't hit, but we'll see. That's that. And Duhar, he was getting hot. I don't know what how you expand the rosters for the next round, however that looks. I don't know, Will, if you know that, if he can slip, if they expand and he can slip in there. But one, you know what they say, one, like it's a hockey term, one series at a time, one period at a time, whatever. This is the same thing. One game at a time, one series at a time. Three game series is tough, man. Cleveland could be running into a buzzsaw right now. We don't know.
And the Yankees have been very streaky. They're losers of six out of their last eight. Cleveland going into it right now, winners of nine of their last 11 right now. Shane Bieber, probably a Cy Young Award candidate, which he probably will be more than likely, is taking the bump for game one.
Right.
Hey, you know, Mike, the last time that we got to see this Cleveland Indians team was back when they were winners of 20 plus games in a row. They broke the AL record held by the 2002 Oakland A's. And everybody had the Yankees as the underdog. The Yankees are coming into this postseason now kind of almost like as that underdog, but they don't have that underdog feel to them because of the superstars now that they've built. Have there been any changes since the Yankees went up against the Indians in 2017 up until now?
Yeah, the pitcher that's going out there tonight is $300 and whatever million dollars. So Gerrit Cole is a guy we didn't have, or a type of player that we really didn't have over the last couple of years. And we'll leave the Astros issues aside from that ALCS, but these are like 3-2 ball games. They're 3-1, 2-0 ball games that come down to two or three pitches, two or three plays, two or three big hits. And if you get a rollout, you got to roll out Gerrit Cole, and you got to match these aces. And then then you got to be in the bullpen. You got to match the bullpen. Do either one of you expect this game to be a high scoring game?
No, absolutely not.
So that's the thing, man. We went for it. We got the big dog. We got the big ace that was out there. We paid him King's ransom. And I mean, here we are. We're going to find out very shortly if he's worth that money.
Mike, me and Will has spoken about this on previous shows, the bullpen. A lot of big names, they struggled somewhat during the regular season. They had their highs and they had their low points. What's your take on the 60 games that the pen had, and what do you think they're going to have to do in order to be successful?
I'm just envisioning Chapman sweating his ass off with all those little fucking gnats all over him at some point in this.
The midges are back, man.
Like Jabba had. It's hard, man. It's hard. Streaky again. We don't have Tommy Conley. It was a bad loss. But it's going to be almost, I think, it's going to be like a very little mistake, like no room for error. Like, you know, Tanaka's going to go five. I don't think he can go six innings, right? Tanaka, unless he becomes playoff Tanaka to another extent, you get six innings out of him tomorrow. So you're going to need bullpen help. Gerrit Cole, we're going to look for seven, eight innings out of you tonight, buddy. You're going to need to have fresh bullpen arms in a short series, man. Boone, the managers, the room for error in this with calling personnel, when to take out pitchers, pinch hitting, all these little things are going to come, and it's going to be the microscope that these games are going to be on, the ass puckering that's happening right now, what's going to happen in these next three games between on all sides is very real. And it's who's going to blink first, and it's who's going to get that, who's going to put that solid contact on. And personally, I think it's going to be Brett Gardner. If we're talking about tonight, I think Brett Gardner comes up with something. Sorry, I know it was a bullpen question, but I was riffing.
It's all right. It's all good, man. Hey, the bullpen has been used a lot by the Yankees over the past 3 years. It's been really just about the Achilles heel for this franchise. But right now, with everything going on, Mike, you alluded to a lot of injuries earlier. And, you know, you had a lot of guys being brought up into that bullpen situation as well. And the taxation of these arms have been really been just on point as far as injuries go and such. And you get to see everything going on right now. You know, out of those guys that you just said, with Britton, Chapman, Chad Green, you want to throw in Jonathan Loaisiga in there as well. He could probably be that long reliever guy. Maybe he might be a starter, an opener in game three, if it does go to a game three. You alluded to Gardner being that guy for the offense. Who could be that guy coming out of the pen, as Sean alluded to? Who could be that guy coming out of the pen?
I think any one of them. I think you have to have a really solid Chapman. Really solid Chapman. You don't want the last line of defense to not be solid. So we'll start from there and like go backwards. Chapman is the most important. And then probably the next most important guy is going to be that situational guy. The guy who comes in the sixth inning with a man on base and one out and got to get out of something. When there's like a little jam with a little bit of a lead, because you know they're going to be holding this game. They're going to be playing these cards close to the vest. You know that Boone has analytics up the ass. They're like, all right, you know, it's got to be Chad Green against this guy here in this spot, and they're going to do it, and it's going to be a major, major point in the game that we can either look back at and, oh, he walked him, and or he gave a hit, or he got out of that inning, and it gave all the momentum switch either way. And then Chapman. You have to have Chapman be steady. You can't let him labor out there, especially if you're going to need him for multiple games in a row. They should be on fine. The rest is fine right now. Everyone's good. Hopefully tonight we don't even use – we use very little.
Minuscule. Very minuscule.
Nothing in the eighth inning, and we just use Loaisiga. If we see Jonathan Loaisiga in a high-leverage situation, we're in trouble.
It's true.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Mike, everybody talks about Stanton and Judge and Glaber and Sanchez. I don't think anybody expected Luke Voit to have the season that he did. Probably the AL MVP, at least he has my vote. What's your take on the season that he had, and do you think he can continue on the tear that he has from the regular season into the playoffs?
Luke Voit had a like a fantasy baseball type of season when you draft some guy in the 10th round and he becomes your best player. And like first round guys just, for whatever reason, don't do any fantasy football too. Right now I got DK Metcalf, who's my best player. And, got
him and he's tearing it up, right?
That's what Luke Voit is for this team. And I mean, some of the other guys are too, because they're cheap. You know, the expensive guys, our expensive guys are terrible. Like Stanton's terrible. and I think Luke Voit's great. I mean, he's batting fourth tonight. He's going to be in there. He's going to be expected to battle, see pitches, get on base. I mean, you're running to a ball here and there. It's great. It's going to be the same thing. I think that's the storyline, man. We got a ton of power. We got a ton of talent. And I'm just going to see this guy, Bieber, work Stanton with outside sliders all night long, and it's going to be terrible. Mike Stanton. Giancarlo Stanton's going to have 3 Ks, maybe a walk or maybe a pop-up. He's going to be useless. because Bieber's filthy and not going to give him anything. And can one of these guys run into a ball? Are we going to see Gary late in the game? Are we going to, you know, is Judge going to get pitches to hit that aren't around his ankles that are called strikes? It's going to be a whole bunch of that. Is LeMahieu going to work? If DJ LeMahieu can work 7 or 8, 9 pitches per at bat and do his thing, set the tone, anything can happen. But it's just like it's a playoff atmosphere, man. It just is. And now you guys get me all tense now thinking about it. I was all relaxed. Now I got 45 minutes and I'm getting tense now.
Oh, man.
Change it, Will. Football now, Will.
I'm drinking White Claws. Now I'm going to have to go to bourbon for the game.
Two more questions on my end, and then I'll just leave it alone, okay? Number one, this is a battle of the managers right now. Terry Francona, ex-Red Sox manager. He's now he's been the Indians manager for a long time. He was part of that 2017 team. That was basically a heavy favorite, even 2016 as well. And now you have Aaron Boone going out there. Talk to us about the matchup of managers here. Who's the better manager and what? And not only that, but two guys here that I feel as if are going to play a key role in this series, two bench guys. You might see them later on. They might be pinch running for some guys, Tyler Wade and Clint Frazier. You can see these guys as speed guys here, almost like a Terrence Gore was for Kansas City back in 2014 and 15. Talk to us about those two as well.
You will see Tyler Wade run. It's gonna be that close. It's gonna be when someone gets on base, like a Luke Voit, for instance. And it could be a moving some pieces around. LeMahieu has to go to first. Like, you know, if Stanton gets on, you're gonna have Wade run for him. That's gonna happen. There's no question about that's gonna happen. It's short rosters. Every run's gonna count. Tyler Wade will be in this game pinch running. I firmly do believe that.
I believe that too.
No, I firmly do. And I think that, I mean, Tito's got the rings. So I'll give the nod to Tito, even though he's been nothing but our nemesis for a long time. And then the other guy you didn't mention is that unknown, faceless analytics guy up in the computer room calling all the shots of all this stuff. So that's whoever right. That nerd is he's the real manager.
That's right.
That's very, very true. Mike, we shall see what happens there. Mike, unfortunately, we have to do it. We got to talk about Big Blue or Small Blue or whatever blue you want to call them right now at 0-3. Obviously, Saquon is out for the year. That was a huge loss. Mike, with everybody that San Francisco had hurt, I thought the Giants could have put together a competitive 20-17 game, 24-21 game. I was not expecting 36-9. Can you talk about the game that was and what's your take on the first three games so far, pal?
We were in the first two. And, you know, if you go back, if you want to get a little deep from my now, I don't go too deep. It's as deep as I'll get. The Steelers game, we had Daniel Jones and the team put together a 19-play drive that ended in, I forget if it was the end of the third quarter or if it was the beginning of the fourth quarter, but it ended in a interception in the end zone.
Right.
Right about the end zone. Daniel Jones threw a bad pick. When the offense stays on the field more, it helps the defense. I mean, it's just kind of just 101. And what the Giants aren't doing, they're young. We're not doing the 101 stuff. We're getting exposed everywhere. We're not doing the basics. And the basics are ball control, which starts with the run game, which in that Pittsburgh game was shockingly bad.
Is bad, it right?
Line? Is it? I mean, Saquon had no chance. It didn't matter who was back there. He had no chance in that Pittsburgh game. Jones was forced to throw it 41 times. And we were leading at halftime. I say we, you know, I talk in wheeze, you know, my crew. We were leading at halftime of that game for a couple, and we didn't even do much right. We could have done so much more right and had even a bigger lead. And then that 19-play drive ended in a turnover, and we ended up losing by, I think it was like 10. And then same thing with the Bears game. Just unbelievably, I don't know, that's stupid, bad decision, but small things that that turned the game around. Either one, both of those games we could have won. And then what happened in this Niners game, I did not see coming. And it was not being able to do. Everyone made a big deal about everyone being out, and I was the first one. I was making such a big deal about everyone being out. Kittle and Garoppolo, especially, and both running backs, and Bosa. And what we failed to realize is that if you lose a player or two off your defense, you still have a coordinator, coach, you still have a full defense that went to the Super Bowl last year and probably should have won the Super Bowl last year. So they're still a fantastic team. Right. What we fail to realize is that they're going to do things without our Pro Bowl running back defensively that are going to just crush our offense and held us to 3 field goals in the whole game. So therefore, just gas the D. So you saw, you know, it was a slow game in the beginning again, and then they ran away with it embarrassingly. And it was because the D was on the field the whole time. The offense didn't do anything. So it all, you know, it all could, you know, it's all connected. A lot of moving parts. I will say that I do think Daniel Jones is a franchise QB. I think he's in a bad situation, much like Tannehill maybe was in Miami was in a bad situation. He went to a good situation and he became, you know, two or three talented guys on a 53-man roster. We're gonna look like shit. You know what I mean? There's, you know, I think Daniel Jones, I think Saquon, I think they're talented dudes. Blake Martinez, I think. But if the whole, you know, if the whole team can't come together, you know, if your first round draft picks are going to jail and things like that, then you know you're gonna have a bad team, no matter how talented you are. You know, it's football is the largest team sport, the most moving parts, the most factors. They all got to click to really show. And if they don't, if you're playing with 9 guys on defense that are 25 years or older, younger, yeah, cool. It looks great for the future. And if you hit on all these guys, it's going to be great, but you're probably going to have a lot of growing pains. And let's just say this is growing pains. This is Mike Seaver and this is your life.
Mike, you talked about Daniel Jones earlier, and I just want to talk about the defense here for a second with you, because nobody really talks about that Giant defense from what's been going on. Leonard Williams, former Jet. We all know as Jet fans what he could bring. Yes, he could pressure the quarterback, but no sacks. Everybody's making a big deal about sacks on social media. You know, it's all about pressuring the quarterback at that point in time. You know, that's what we've been hearing.
He had a sack last year.
You know, it was good. Jabril Peppers, though, coming out from the Odell Beckham Jr. trade. He's been in and out a little bit of the lineup here. And, you know, you look at Blake Martinez, a guy that you brought up, you know, a guy that's been basically almost everywhere on that football field for the Giants. Just talk to us about this Giants defense thus far this 2020 season, trying to rebound from last year.
Okay, so we're real homers right now, because I know you're Jets, Islanders, Yankees homer. We're talking super homers right now. There's no one on this planet that thinks there's a bright spot on this team besides the Giants homers. So here I go. Okay, the bright spot – the Giants is the defense. For, you know, it is Blake Martinez, it is Dexter Lawrence, and it is Leonard Williams up front. You look at these nerdy guys who are rating defenses and giving us some kind of weird point system, wherever that comes from. After week 2, Giants were like 5th or 6th. So it was good. And James Bradbury, big signing. Blake Martinez, good signing. These are real players. These are real talents. You got to put it all together. You can't leave them on the field for 40 plus minutes like they did, was it yesterday, Sunday? You can see from, I mean, Pittsburgh's 3-0. There's looks like they're going to run away with that division. We held them in check most of that game. The Bears, we held them in check most of that game. And the Niners, we let it get away with a couple things just based on just losing, almost giving up a little bit. But the defense in itself is a young, talented unit, and it stinks that DeAndre Baker robbed somebody. And it stinks that Peppers went down with a high ankle, whatever, the other day, so he'll be out. It stinks that we have to pay Leonard Williams all this money and probably not resign. I don't know what's going to happen with him. That's a whole another mess. But there is talent on the defense. And it showed there is spots. The first 2 games, it definitely showed. There's no doubt about it. But you can't be a one lopsided, you know, and not, they're not great, great defense. Not great. They're a middle of the road defense with a horrendous offense. So you're gonna be, your team is gonna be terrible. And here, yeah. here we are. So, but yeah, there's some good bright spots. Bradberry for sure. Blake Martinez. I like finally seeing a linebacker run around and have his name called a lot. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm gonna be a homer. We're gonna be homers forever. We're gonna watch every game. We're gonna cheer every game. I just the problem I have is what do I have to tell my kids? That's my problem. What am I gonna tell
yes.
them?
Yes.
Who am I gonna you know?
I'm old.
I'm like, you know what? No, you guys got 8 Saquon jerseys. You're good with current Giants. I'm just gonna buy you old Giants now. I can't buy you any current Giants.
That's hilarious, man. That's hilarious, Mike. My final Giant question for you, Pat, is you talk about this team as, you know, talent. One of the most frustrating players, mainly because I drafted him and he isn't doing much, but one of the most frustrating players is Evan Engram. And it's like the guy could play X, he could play Z in the slot, tight end, and it's like outside of that first year before he got hurt, it just hasn't clicked for him. What's your take on him, and do you think he can break out of the funk that he's in?
No, I don't think he can break out of the funk. The team is not good. They have three passing plays of over 20 yards all season. One of them is a little dump off to Saquon.
The Saquon, right?
they don't have an offense. Their offense is very poor. So it's not an Evan Engram problem. I don't know, like, there's nothing happening. There's no throws downfield. There's no receptions downfield. There's no pass blocking. After week two, Saquon was getting, you know, after week one, Saquon was getting crushed for his pass or lack of pass blocking. I don't even want to go down the rabbit hole of like offensive line videos that I've seen this week of Will Hernandez getting absolutely embarrassed out there, you know, in some of these plays. So, Daniel Jones our leading rusher? I don't even want to look at it. Daniel Jones might be the leading rusher on the team. There's no downfield passing. Evan Engram did have a couple bonehead plays. I got fumbled out the other day, dropped one in week one and 1 week. But, like, it's moving parts. This is what we always said about Eli. Eli had an offensive line. He had time to make plays. He would have some very, very good seasons in the mid to late 2000s because he had an amazing borderline Hall of Fame offensive line, like 3 or 4 guys that are borderline Hall of Famers on the offensive line. Yeah. That's a big deal, man. And then when you don't draft offensive linemen or you draft them poorly, you're going to have problems over the course of time. So I think Evan Engram, sadly, is a super talented dude who runs a 4.5 or whatever. He's the fastest like tight end in the league. But he's playing the tough offense, same as Saquon. Like, you know what? I'm almost happy for Saquon. Don't play this season on this. Just rest your quads and come back, you know, next season when maybe there's an opportunity, because you were just going to get crushed all season long anyway. So Evan Engram is the same way. He'll get out there. He'll have his plays. Everyone does. But fantasy-wise, you're screwed, bro.
I'm screwed. I'm totally screwed.
My final two questions on the Giants here for you. Number one, Joe Judge, as the situation progresses with him, everybody seems like they love to play for this guy, as evident in these training camps and such. And, you know, it's proven that in the first two games, while you said it, these games were close with the exception of the San Francisco game. He's been literally right there in the thick of things, trying to make things work for the Giants. Number two, Andrew Thomas, what's been your first impression on the number 4 overall pick?
I saw a couple of great Andrew Thomas clips today. I mean, 3 games, you know what I mean? The big boy, it's going to be health. There's no reason he can't be an all-pro tackle. He will be if he's healthy. He's got all the tools. He's got everything for that. Saw some great plays. You know, after you look at the tape, he's got the talent. He's got the tools. Health is his factor. I'm not worried about Andrew Thomas. First question, Judge. I see a lot of similarities in Aaron Boone and Joe Judge as like these player coaches, you know, these guys who come in with like, they're young, they have a little bit of like young energy, like connecting, like friendly energy with their players. Difference is that Aaron Boone has talent and Judge doesn't have talent. So I love the mentality that Joe Judge, I loved all preseason of what there was and the stuff we were seeing about him and, the, and his mentality and his seriousness. He's younger than me. He's serious. You know what I mean? He's a serious dude. I for a long time, I've thought that you have to give your coach some time. Listen, Parcells, what's the Parcells quote? You know what I'm going to say. If you're going to cook the dinner, you might want to let me shop for the groceries. Right. Yes. Something like that. Like being like the GM like coach type of thing. I'm not saying let Joe Judge shop for the groceries, but give him a couple of years. I fear that Dave Gettleman won't be around too long. And I don't think that's fair either, because I think you got to give guys some time. Gettleman's going on year three, so he could probably be out. But Judge, I am all in on Judge. I'm all in on Daniel Jones. A question arose the other day: if the Giants had the first pick and Trevor Lawrence was your guy, what would happen? I think that we have to see how the season plays out. If we have the first pick, means we did very bad, which we're probably going to. I would say the same thing to you, Will. Same thing. You know what? Fuck this. Enough about this depressing Giant shit. Let's talk about the Jets shit.
Let's talk about the depressing Jets right now.
If the Jets had the first pick, would you take Trevor Lawrence?
No, I would not. I would trade down. You talk about homers right now. Me being a homer right now, Sam. Yes, Sam has to fix some deficiencies in his throwing and such. But realistically, you alluded to not having Saquon Barkley and not having some of the talent around Daniel Jones. Sam Darnold has really nothing going on. But those three interceptions, make no mistake about it, that he threw two pick sixes and the one that was in the end zone, in the red zone. That's all on Sam. You know, I saw the replay of the corner thinking that it was zone, and then it, you know, he wound up playing man on that or vice versa. And that great play on the corner's part for actually making the mental check to say, hey, you know what, this is unbelievable what's going on right now. I'm not getting blown up by this receiver catching this touchdown here. And he wound up doing it. But regardless or not with the Jets, this is just, like you said, with the Giants, this is just as worse. And the head coach, even though he's been here for 2 years, Sean, thank God you're here. Mike, I've said it. I wanted Adam Gase here. I really wanted Adam Gase here just because the fact that I see you shaking your head, but hear me out. Forget the fact of what he did in Miami and stuff. That's different. For the Jet, as a Jet fan, having to see five head coaches that were defensive first, and for year in and year out through the NFL draft from 2010 all the way up until 2018, it would always be defense first. And you would think that they would learn their lesson and take an offensive player first. And they took Mekhi Becton and Sam Darnold, you know, respectively in, you know, 2018 and 2020, I loved it. I loved them going on offense and trying to go out there and hit that home run, even Mark Sanchez in 2009. But make no mistake, you know, this team has to move away from that defensive first mentality. And that's going to, you know, it's going to be that thing in the league now that you have to be offensively minded first. Every team is doing it, and it is a copycat league. The defense is bad. They got to fix on what's going on with their tackling. Everything right now.
Did you watch last night's game?
I did not. I fell asleep.
Good for you, because that was a different sport. Like, if we're watching the Jets and the Giants, you're watching different sports than Chiefs, Ravens.
Right. But also, too, to get to what you're saying, at least, listen, forget Patrick Mahomes here for a second. Andy Reid worked out a lot of things with Donovan McNabb back in the day. You know it, being a Giants fan, having to deal with that each and every, you know, twice a year. Listen, still, you know, they wound up going out there and doing things, and they wound up making some magic happen.
They didn't do shit. We got two rings in the same time.
I understand that, but I'm saying, like, Andy Reid being there, Andy Reid is an offensively first-minded coach, and he had things working for him, right? And then to get Patrick Mahomes and to get the wide receiving crew there in place with the rules in place right now, it has been working out for Andy Reid right now. Now, we'll see what happens with his offensive coordinator down the stretch. If he might become the next Jet head coach, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. But, you know, with the Jets right now, they're just a disaster. They're just an absolute
Bannon's money, man. He's money. And, you know, he'll 100% get a job. Is it enough's enough, right?
Right.
Leading an offense like this. People, you know, people will say they always got Mahomes. So it's easy. Just like, you know, what was it, Shanahan, who had Peyton Manning or so. And then the other guy, Josh McDaniels. But, bro, we are – the Jets and the Giants are
very
so
similar.
Far away. I will tell you this. If this is the last words you hear from me anytime soon, before we get into Yankee world, which, by the way, I'm so excited for is happening because this is so depressing. Keep it – trust me.
Yeah.
Honestly, if the Yankees weren't playing tonight, I don't know if I could do this and talk about it.
Well, Mike, you are right now. And, you know, we talked about Jets. We talked about Giants. We talked about Yankees. Before we go, we got to do picks. Sean,
I was going to leave if you said we got to do Knicks. I was going to be out of here.
No. We're not
doing actually, Will, before we do picks, Mike, I am 100% on board with you because I don't disagree.
I'm on board. I'm
100% on the board with you, bro, because I'm not – like, I don't disagree with what Will said, but if you're going to go with the offensive guy, you had Eric Bieniemy, you had Mike McCarthy, and I forgot the other guy name that just got a job. You could have even Matt Rhule to college. I mean, to – sign a guy that shit the bed with the Dolphins. Ryan Tannehill has gotten way better since he left Gates. I mean, way better since he left Gates. That is a clear sign. So I don't disagree with what Will is saying. I'm just saying there were much better guys than Adam Gates. That's just my whole thing.
I'm not disagreeing with you now. Sean, do you have the stats from the week three last week? I don't either, but we'll add it up come the stretch afterward. Let's go to week four, pick 'em right now, and let's start off with the Thursday night game between the Broncos and the Jets. Both teams are 0-3. Broncos are going to be starting another backup quarterback here, and this might be the last game of Adam Gase, and the Jets have not – they played a great first half – not a great first half, a good first half against a very good Indianapolis Colts team, but they wound up shitting the bed. Guys, Mike, I'll start it off with you first. Broncos, Jets, MetLife Stadium, Thursday night, 8:20. Who do you have in this game?
Spread or no spread?
No spread, just your gut feeling.
Broncos, no question about it.
Broncos, no question. Sean?
Well, I got to go Broncos because I think the Jets are going to play bad so Adam Gase could go. So give me the Broncos.
Clean sweep across the board right there, my guys. This is not looking good. And this is a typical Jet game in which they are even you look at the spread, they're down right now. And it is not pretty going up against a backup quarterback. No confidence at all from anybody there. Clean sweep across the board, and that's a Jets fan talking about that as well. The negativity train continues for Gangrene. Moving on now to October 4th, Sunday, we have the LA Chargers going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Chargers are 1-2, Buccaneers are 2-1. We'll take this one to Sean right now. Who do you have in this game?
I think the Bucs are getting things going now, Will. So give me the Bucs at home.
Mike?
Ooh, dude, the Bucs are looking good. And the Bucs D is good. Yep. I love Herbert. As a matter of fact, hold on. I have invested
in her, these are all Herbert rookie cards.
Wow.
Huge Herbert guy.
Okay.
Wow.
These are all Justin Herbert.
Taking the page out of Gary Vee right there, investing in those sports cards.
Get down the camera. These are all Herbert. I'm huge on Herbert. When that crazy team doctor punctured Tyrod Taylor's lungs and Herbert got the start, I was like, holy shit, this is going to be great for these cards that I bought. But even that being said, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it's clean sweep across the board right there. You know, L.A. having to come over to Florida right now, you know, not going to be the prettiest of games. And, you know, the Tampa, like you said, Mike and Sean, Tampa Bay is hitting a gear right now with Tom Brady and their wide receiving core. And even their running game is actually pretty decent as well. So give me the Buccaneers at home. Moving on now to a battle of Maryland right now. You have the Baltimore Ravens going up against the Washington football team. Still hard to say that right now. Very, very hard to say that.
Just skip this one and go to the next one. I mean, come on.
All right.
Yeah, dude.
Let's go clean sweep across the board with the Ravens. Next game up on Sunday, you have the Steelers going up against the Titans. Both teams are 3-0. This might be one of the games of the week. I know you have the Patriots going up against the Chiefs later on that day, or even on Monday night, I believe. No, it is a 425 game. Excuse me, that game. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll save that one. But right now, let's talk about the Steelers and the Titans. Sean, lead it off with your team first. Who do you think has the advantage here?
I'm going with my Titans. I'll probably be wrong. But listen, we've won our first three games by a combined 7 points. Seven. So we could be easily 0-3, but good teams find a way to win. And I think we take it to 4-0. Go tighten up.
I like that. Mike? I like that. I have the Titans as well. I saw Pittsburgh, what you can do to Pittsburgh with a offensive line and a running game, and I think the Titans have that, and that's probably how they're winning those tight games, clock management and doing stuff like that. So it's not gonna be a slam dunk, but Titans in a close one.
I'm gonna go Steelers here. I think the Titans get their first loss here of the season. And, you know, listen, the Steelers right now, their defense is ranked second in the league right now. As opposed to the Titans, it's ranked 29th.
Who did they play? Now. They played the Giants. Who else did they play, the Steelers?
And the Broncos when Drew Lock got hurt.
There you go.
And Houston with no Hopkins.
There you go.
Still though.
Details, baby. Details.
More context. However, I'm going to go with the Steelers here. 3-0, about to go 4-0. Sean, I love you, but your Titans, I think, are going down in my book. We'll see what happens there. Moving on now to another slate of 1 o'clock games here. Seahawks going up against the Dolphins. Seahawks, an impressive win up against the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. Going up against the Dolphins. Is this going to be a clean sweep across the board here?
Seattle is looking special.
Seattle's looking special.
Yep.
Clean sweep Seattle. Across the board. Seattle across the board. We'll keep that one short and sweet. Moving on now, a team that the Tennessee Titans beat on Sunday, the Vikings are going up against the Texans. Both teams are 0-3 right now. Who gets their first win of the season here?
Houston, Minnesota. Give me Houston. I think Houston's due.
Houston?
Ugly, Mike. Houston in a nail biter on field goals. Terrible game.
Gonna go with the Texans here as well. Deshaun Watson, I think, finds a way to outplay Kirk Cousins here, albeit he doesn't really have much. This is a bad game, but we'll see what happens there come Sunday down in Houston. Moving on to the Saints going up against the Lions. The Saints losing a Sunday night football game against the Packers at home. The Lions found a way to win a game in Arizona in the desert against Kyler Murray and that high-powered Arizona Cardinals offense. Saints and Lions, who do you guys got in this game?
Go ahead, Mike.
It's another good one. I think this is a good one. I don't know. What's the line on this? Do we know? Is this
I don't have the line on me right now. I do not have any of that stuff on me.
I think the Saints are
probably the favorite.
Whole different look without Michael Thomas. So give me the Lions.
Okay. Lions for Mike. Sean?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go with Mike. Make this my upset special. Lions take down the Saints.
I don't think it's an upset. I just don't think the Saints are that good, and definitely not without Michael Thomas.
Right.
I think it's – where's the game?
It is in Detroit.
Detroit, yeah.
It's probably close to a pick 'em.
Probably, yeah. Maybe -2, -3.
I'm going to have to go with the Lions here as well. I think Matt Patricia is trying to coach for his job here. He's got to see what's going on up in Detroit. You know, huge win. Try to capitalize on that. And, you know, I think we're all in agreement there that the Saints are not that good without Michael Thomas. So clean sweep across the board there. Moving on now, Browns, Cowboys. Mike, you want to show that Eli Manning statue again that he got?
Now I have to pick the goddamn Cowboys. You're making me pick the Cowboys, aren't you? All right.
I'm kidding here. Browns and Cowboys. Cowboys are the home team. Cowboys. What do you guys got? Cowboys?
Cowboys.
Cowboys, too. Moving on. Jacksonville. The Jaguars are going up against the Bengals. This game, I think, is going to be close. Sean, who do you have in this game?
Joe Burrow gets his first win. Give me Cincinnati.
It's Taylor right there.
Lawrence Taylor, LT.
I like Joe Burrow. I like Cincinnati. I think they're going to come on. I think Burrow is the real, real deal. I think Cincinnati probably is like a 8-8 team, even though they have no wins. I think they're going to come on real strong. I don't know what their schedule looks like, but Burrow is the real deal. So he's going to win some games on his own. So give me Cincinnati in this, and give me Cincinnati to win 6 or 7 this season.
All right, Mike, I'm going to have to go with the Bengals, too. Clean sweep across the board there. Bengals have been in a lot of games in the past 2 years, mostly by a score. And, you know, things could have changed around, obviously, in the past 2 years. But right now, as you alluded to, Mike and Sean, Joe Burrow is a rising star indeed. Moving on now to the Colts and the Bears. The Colts easily took down the Jets, looking dominant. The Bears are 3-0 right now, an impressive comeback against the Atlanta Falcons this past Sunday. Who do you guys got in this game? It's a pretty interesting game here.
First of all, I had the Colts D last week. Thank you very much.
And, that's a smart play, Mike.
I think the Bears are chumps, honestly. I think they're big phonies. But Nick Foles, I do think he's smart. He can outsmart teams that aren't great. He's not going to beat great teams, but he's going to beat mediocre teams. I would not be surprised if he wins. Where's this game?
This game is in Chicago.
Yeah, I'll take the Bears.
This is a tough one, but I don't like Phillip Rivers on the road. Something about him on the road, I just don't like it. So, right. So, well, I got the Bears.
I'm going to have to go with the Bears, too, here. You know, the defense for the Colts is great. But, again, there's something about being on the lake, the wind, Phillip Rivers, that arm angle, that's the way how he throws it. It's not going to be pretty. Give me the Bears at home here. Moving on now to the Arizona Cardinals going up against the Carolina Panthers. Cardinals are 2-1. Panthers are 1-2. Panthers are the home team here. Mike, who do you have in this game?
I have my MVP. It's not going to be Russell Wilson. It's not going to be Mahomes. It's not going to be Lamar Jackson. It's going to be Kyler Murray.
Okay.
And I'm winning this game. And if anybody is anybody who knows anything, Kyler Murray cards, free money. Free money. Kyler Murray and the Cardinals win this game to go to 3-1. And watch him watch that guy.
He is going to put up a whole bunch of stats because that offense, they really should have won Sunday's game. I think they also improved the 3-1. So give me the Cardinals.
Clean sweep across the board here. Going to go with the Cardinals as well. Moving on now. I hate to do this to you, Mike. The Giants are going to Los Angeles to SoFi Stadium to go up against the LA Rams. Are we going to keep this one short and sweet here, Mike?
Giants.
Upset special here, the homer pick, with the Giants getting their first win, or are you joking around right now?
What are your listeners like to hear?
Whatever they want. Whatever they want. It's really up to you.
All right, let's just call it this. Yeah, and you know what? This is what I'm going to use. I found a little loophole I'm going to use every time because Giants actually have a hard schedule too. We're going to call this a trap game.
Okay.
I'm going to still take the Rams.
Okay, so it's official. It's in stone. The Rams right now.
But trap game.
Trap game for sure from Mike. Yep. Sean, who do you got in this one?
I actually agree with Mike that it could be a trap because the Rams coming off that almost big win on the road against the Bills playing the Giants, they may overlook them. Well, I think the Rams win, but I don't think it's going to be like 41-10. I could see this being like a close 27-23 type of game, but I have the Rams.
Fantastic. Okay. I'm going to have to go with the Rams here too, but I think the Rams are going to be playing angry. Forget overlooking the Giants here. I think they're going to play angry after having the game snatched from them by the referees on that horrible pass interference call without a shadow of a doubt. I think the Rams are just going to blow the doors off here on them. You're right. It could be a trap game, but they're playing angry and they have the talent on that defense to shut them down.
Well, that's the bigger question of this game. Forget about who's winning, what the line is. I say take the Rams lane, whatever points they're going to put on them. The question is, how many sacks does Aaron Donald have? That's the question.
Mike, I was just about to say, Will Hernandez, I hope he gets a nice long week of sleep because he's in for a long day.
You could say the same thing with Evan Engram going up against Jalen Ramsey too. We'll see what happens there. Moving on now, I'm going to go Rams here too. I don't know if I mentioned that or not. Moving on now to another 4 o'clock game here. This is probably the game of the week. The Patriots are going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs are the home team. Newton, Mahomes, Reed, Belichick. Who do you guys got in this game? Go ahead, Mike.
You didn't watch the game last night, did you?
I fell asleep. This is what happens when you're working on the tracks in construction.
The Chiefs are playing on a different planet with a different team. Yeah. I expect it to be fairly close early, and then just Chiefs do what they do, and they just blow the doors off. And I mean, who knows? It could be a 10-point game, 17-point game, but it will never be in doubt. It'll never be in doubt that the momentum is with Kansas City. So I'll take the Chiefs here.
Well, to prove Mike's point, Patrick Mahomes threw for 5 scores last night. One went to a fullback. The other went to a tackle. Fullback and a tackle. A team that has Hill and Kelsey and Watkins and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. A fullback and a tackle. Mike and Will, I'm going to say it now for everybody to hear. I think the Chiefs are going 16-0. I honestly think that they're going to go 16-0. So, Will, give me the Chiefs to beat New England.
I'm not betting against you on that one. I will not. That's actually a good bet. You should actually bet that. I'm sure you can find that somewhere.
Yes, I definitely will.
Absolutely. Clean sweep across the board here.
I'll bet that with you. Let me know if you actually find that. Let's do it.
Copy.
Chiefs here for me as well. It's going to be a tough game, but something about Bill Belichick, though, you know, trying to go up against Patrick Mahomes here on the road, it's going to be interesting, but the high-powered octane offense of the Chiefs are going to prevail. We'll see what happens there. Last of the 4 o'clock games here, we have the Buffalo Bills going to Las Vegas to play the Raiders. Guys, who do you have in this one here? Start off with Sean first.
Short and sweet. Give me Buffalo. Will, I know you like Sam. I know you like Sam. The Jets could have had Josh Allen, Will. He was right in their arms, Will.
I don't want to play what-if games.
He's doing this, and Sam is doing
different
this.
The context, bro. Let's look at context here. We'll save that for another
give
episode.
Give me Josh.
Context.
I agree. I love,
give me the Bills.
I love Josh Allen. I think he's a good dude. I think he's an interesting player, like dynamic. But good system he's in. Like, he would be doing shit on the Jets. But give me the Bills.
Yeah, that's true.
Give me the Bills in this game. I like the Bills. I like them to go deep into the playoffs. They might have to run into KC. Do they play KC in the regular season?
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah.
That game.
That's going to be
a game.
Yeah. Absolutely. Upset special of the week here for me. Raiders at home find a way to dethrone the perfect Bills right now at this point in time. We'll see what happens there, but that's my upset special of the week. Give me the Raiders on the road. Moving on now to Sunday Night Football, you have the Eagles going up against the 49ers. 49ers are home, and the Eagles, you know, outside of them, they could be 0-3 right now at this point in time. Mike, who do you have in this game?
It's a good one. Shit. I don't know. I'll give you the Niners because of what they did to us. I don't know.
That's a good point, though, Mike. Well, I have to think Philly is going to get it right some week. I think this is the week. I think they just need to get away from home. Like, they need to get away from home and just fly west. So, Will. So, give me Philly.
Yeah, gonna go 49ers here.
Will, you're on mute.
Moving on now, last game here. And I'm gonna say this right now. Dan Quinn is on the hot seat. Talk about Adam Gase. We'll talk about that in another episode. But the Falcons are going up against the Packers at Lambeau. Guys, who do you have in this game?
Packers by a million.
Packers by a million. Packers start short and sweet there.
Start Aaron Rodgers in fantasy like I am. Packers.
Smart man, Sean. Very smart man. And for the people that didn't hear me, 49ers at home in that game as well. So, guys, great job as always. Mike, I know the Yankee game is about to start right now. Thank you for coming on and talking football and baseball with us. We really appreciate you. Any final thoughts from you, sir?
Listen, there's only one thing to say about the Giants season right now, and that is let's go Yankees.
Both teams shared a stadium at one point, so obviously it's there. The both red, white, and blue teams are rooting for each other right now at this point in time. Sean, any final thoughts from you, bud?
No, man. Mike, thank you for taking some time, man. Enjoy the game, man. Will, great job by you, pal. But I will say this. Let's go 2021 Mets. Let's go, Steve Cohen, baby.
We'll see. Mike, thank you again, man. We really appreciate you coming on. Let's go Yankees tonight, and let's see what happens. Maybe they might pull an upset here for sure. Thank you again, and continued success on your podcast with License Plate Guy and Sports Roasters and everybody like that. I hope to see you soon, boy. Thank you again.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mike.
No problem. See you, man. That was the one and only Mike Vivolo from Sports Roasters and from ESNY. Great job there by Mike. Sean, great job by you. And awesome stuff. And Eli Manning as well.
And Eli.
Absolutely. For everybody here from the On the Board Sports team, for our special guest, Mike Vivolo, and for Sean Thomas, I am your host, William Trucci, a.k.a. We'll See Logging Out. We will talk to you guys soon. Peace out. And stay safe out there wherever you may be. Yeah.